able to see him and see how humble he is and how great of a person.
Yeah, did you have a chance to catch up with him at all last night?
I didn't catch up with him. I sat next to Brandon, though, and he was up and about the whole game, and that was pretty cool to see. And he's just a cool, high-energy guy, so I'm excited to meet the rest of my teammates.
Now, Ken, at the next Valkyries game, can we expect you to be running along the sidelines with Pods and getting up and cheering the way? He's pretty unique, I'll give him that.
That's true, yeah. Maybe I'll have to feed off his energy, but I'm sure that's something we could try and organize.
I love asking the young guys, Alex, like, growing up, who did you pattern your game after? Who was your guy where you fell in love with the game?
I really like Joe Ingles growing up.
Okay.
He's obviously an Australian legend, so him. I like watching Manu Ginobili. It was pretty cool. It did some pretty cool moves, which I like to imitate, and then probably those guys, and then I think watching Luka now is pretty incredible, so they're probably the main guys.
Right on, man. Well, we're looking forward to it.
We'll be watching
you. Yeah, we'll see you this weekend at the California Classic.
Very excited. Can't wait to see you guys there.
Let's go.
Right on. Well, we appreciate you joining us, and thank you so much for your time, Alex.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Joe Ingles. Yeah.
Yeah, he just signed a contract today with the Timberwolves, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's going to be coming back for a year.
Lefty.
That's Alex Tewitt, 52nd overall pick for the Golden State
6'8".
Warriors. 6'8". Yeah, 6'8", swing player. Sounds like he can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and Curry is big in Australia. Duh. Is there a place where he's not?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say, maybe a mountain somewhere in Mongolia. They haven't heard of him, but even there, his name probably gets out.
Hey, he's a big boy, Evan. I could see him making some contributions.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Big thanks to Will Richard and Alex Tui. Chatted with both of the second-round picks for the Warriors this year. Looking forward to maybe catching up with Taron Armstrong, fellow countryman of Tui, and then, of course, the head coach for this summer league, Lane Wilson. But, you know, yeah, I mean, chatting with him, it must be surreal when you're kind of joining... I don't want to say like your heroes, but for someone that is as big in America as he is in Australia, you know, it's like I'm gonna be passing the ball. I'm gonna be taking the ball from Steph Curry.
Yeah, and the words I'm looking for, Evan, like in awe, like how do you like ignore that, you know, or is it the fact that you're playing with the modern day NBA version of Michael Jackson that makes you better, you know, and maybe that will happen. But I'll say this, and it's not fair, but I think about Kuminga because I'm one of his biggest fans. This team needs size, and I think it's fair to say with what's going on with him, and hopefully he's back. But that 6'8 that hasn't worked out is seamless as you would have liked it to have been. And him being all 6'8, 225, I'm like, man, if he can play, Evan, there's a spot for him.
Well, that was a pick that when I saw it, and again, you know, these guys have a lot to prove in the league, and they understand that, and they're going to get going this weekend at the Cal Classic presented by CarMax. But the thing is, that was a pick about fit. You know, you heard him describe his ability to play in different systems, how quickly the Warriors play with pace. They like to move the ball. The versatility, perhaps on defense as well.
Yeah.
You know, not that he's going to be a stopper, maybe like GP2, but his headiness is kind of where his advantage lies. And a lot of the things that he is describing, both, you know, with Bogut telling him how the Warriors like to play, but also even his quick conversation he was saying with Coach Kurtz, like, he seems like a fit.
Wow.
And in recent drafts, you know, again, they haven't always had the later round picks, but there's been more of a priority of fit. You know, going back to Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, Quentin Post, those three guys, we'll see about these two. All three of those players that have been selected by Dunleavy, they fit.
Yeah, no doubt. And Evan, when you kind of just step back and look where the Warriors are, they don't have time to, such as you said, sit, babysit. It's almost like they need guys that can come in and hit the ground running. And these two guys that we've spoken to hopefully can do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the goal at this point, is for them to figure out where they fit in. Now, I mean, one thing that is huge is at least the last two, Yeah, two years, the first two drafts for Dunleavy, all three of those guys have played. Like, the odds are that these two players we just talked to are going to play at some point this season.
That's a great point.
Quentin Post started, I think, 13 games last year. Trace Jackson Davis started over 20 games at the end of his rookie season, even though he fell out of the lineup last year. Like, one of the advantages I do think about playing for the Warriors and Kerr is because of the kind of top heaviness of their roster, like, These guys are gonna get run.
Yeah,
and I mean, you got to be excited about that because probably not many dudes who are drafted in the 50s have opportunities to play first year for their teams.
Yeah, and this week they'll be able to do that. And Evan, it's kind of funny, and I kind of asked Will, and I'm wondering for Alex. You know, the big three aren't around. How do you approach the classic, the summer league? Just fans want to get to know you. They're not there. Do you go just guns blazing in regard to Westbrook? Or you just play your game.
Do you think Pods made him feel weird at the Valkyries game last night?
That I don't know, but you got to love Pods, man. It's growing. But, man, Evan, I'm wondering if they know, hey, you know what? I can go Westbrook and it'll be okay. But I remember Pods when we got to talk with him after Summer League when he wasn't ultra-aggressive in Summer League, and he told us to our face he knew he was playing with a lot of guys that were trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it, get shown. And then the season starts, and then there's an opportunity naturally for Paz to show us what he had. And I was shocked.
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's like, how they perform in Summer League isn't indicative of how or what kind of player they're going to be.
Doubt.
Like, I remember Pajemski, he shot it horribly in Summer League.
Yeah.
And some might say for a lot of last season at the beginning. But the point is, it's about getting your feet wet and introduced to the system. And, I'm excited about seeing both of these guys because it feels like it's not, I wouldn't say seamless. You can never assume.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel like, they have the tools to make it a quicker transition than others. I think that the priority of pro-ready players, that's what the Warriors are aiming for right now. And to kind of broaden it to what their goals are heading into free agency, they're looking to pick up pieces.
Yeah.
They have the pieces, and now they just need some guys to kind of fill in.
No doubt, Evan, well said. And the beautiful thing about sports is you never know what's on the horizon, when your opportunity is going to get called. And the reason I bring that up is you mentioned Quentin Post. I didn't think we were going to see him and him make the impact that he did. We saw him in playoff games. It's like, damn, Evan, these two guys we talked to, all dependent on what happens or transpires. We'll say the dynasty is on the back nine. I think you could give me that for all the golfers out there, but the bottom line is these two guys hopefully will be able to make an imprint on this Golden State Warrior team that's not trying to make the offs, trying to get number five. If they do that, that's another thing, but am I wrong? I can hear Stoddy now, wherever he's at. That's the goal.
Well, but hashtag too early, like, is that what we're going into next season? I know you want to win a championship every single year, but is that what we're going to do again? It's all about number five, at least until Curry leaves? I mean, to me, that's a massive weight that's put on a team that, made the second round last year.
Well, it's interesting you say that.
Or lost in the second round.
Yeah, it's interesting you say, I put an asterisk next to that, because if that hammy wouldn't have went, we still might be playing, or we would have went longer. But the bottom line is, if I'm having a conversation or coffee with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, and Steph Curry, that's what they're talking, number five. But then if I'm talking, to Moody and the younger guys, these new guys that are coming in, we don't want to put it all at their doorstep. But the bottom line is, it starts with the OGs, and right now that's what you are. What, $140 million? In Draymond, Steph, and Jimmy Butler. Like, that's what this is about. So I get it, Evan. There's going to be life without those guys. But the reality is, right now, it's how close can we get to being a threat to get one more?
Yeah.
That's how I'd operate.
Well, I think that's how they're going about it. But the question is, how badly do they want it? Like, going into free agency, and I wonder what a lot of people are feeling right now, 4 hours before it officially kicks off, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard, so obviously Willard and Dibbs are gonna be right in the thick of things. But what are people expecting? Like, what does free agency represent to the Warriors this summer? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Infersteiner with Goo here live at Chase Center. When I say free agency, what does that hit you with?
that there's no asset, and this is no shade at anybody in a Warrior jersey, not named the Big Three, that is so protected that we can't go get something that will impact our immediate future, which starts this November, late October, game one. So anybody can be sacrificed if we can go put a package together for Giannis, because, Evan, the reality to me is you can't start building or working on the future until 30 is gone. That's just me.
Well, but they're not. Okay, well, then I guess my next kind of question is, and we're up against it a little bit, what do you do with the future that you have to mortgage? You know, to me, it would be, I think what Dunleavy said a couple, maybe it was at the end of the season, about being 90% in on next year and 10% towards the future. That's kind of where I'm at, too. Like, I am mostly in on next season, which is why I think the domino of Kuminga is the biggest one that has to fall to decide everything.
Right.
And I personally, at this point, would lean towards signing and trying to sign and trade him this summer. But, again, it depends on who you can get. Like, how about this? On the other side, I got a few names of free agents that we could go through that the Warriors may or may not be able to acquire. Not all of them are big names, but some of them, similar to like Chewy and Richard, they could be fits. Like, that's what we're trying to find out.
And you and the boss mentioned, we'll talk about on the other side, what was it, the New York Times, that article? No name, but had Giannis.
New York Post,
excuse me.
Post.
You know, with Giannis being linked to the Warriors. Like, just as a fan, Evan, I know you're Jim Carrey. You're saying that's exciting. Like, it won't be until we find out that's not a reality. Because why wouldn't you go down that road or do everything you possibly could to be a suitor?
Who haven't the Warriors been linked to? Like, seriously, of the last couple, the last few summers, of all the big stars, they've been linked to George, LeBron, Markkanen. Markkanen is not in that same class, but
well,
LeBron, George, even Siakam a couple of trade deadlines ago. I mean, it just feels like if there's a star out there, Kevin Durant, obviously, if there's a star out there, they're probably going to be linked.
And they went and captured one in Jimmy Butler, and he changed everything.
I do think it's funny that the one guy who might have been on the back burner of those stars who was least talked about is the guy that got in
Jimmy Butler. Ended up being the right piece.
Ended up being
the right one.
All right, we'll keep it rolling on the other side. Live from Chase Center, we got Taron Armstrong, I think, coming by at some point. But obviously, Will Richard and Alex Tuohy, the two newest members of the Golden State Warriors. Go back on the Odyssey app and check out those interviews. Evan Gittings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson live here at Chase Center. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game. I don't know if the Warriors are going to be involved right off the bat, Goo, but we've already seen around the draft, Bane got moved, Durant's in Houston. We're seeing contracts leak out of the negotiations that's going on. It feels like, don't the Warriors have to get involved in this at some point?
They have to. I love that. I agree with you. And they're balling on a budget, it feels like. But then when you go down the road of what Kuminga could get you or fetch you in a signing trade, you feel like, you know what, I got some money to spend. Because I don't know where you're at with Kuminga and what he could get you, but I think he could be a part of bringing something back here to enhance what we currently have and just be a threat, Evan. That's all Steph talked about, just giving him a chance. They had one last year, but we'll see.
Well, we got people coming in all around. We talked to Will Richard earlier, Alex Tuohy, and right now joining us live here on 95.7 The Game is Taron Armstrong. And Taron last year signed with the Golden State Warriors on a two-way contract and hails from Australia. Taron, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing?
Good. How you guys?
Hang it in there.
Fantastic. Well, you know, we just spoke to Alex Tuohy. I saw you guys both were in the NBL at the same time. Did you play against each other at any point during your time there?
Yep.
So how do you think that he would describe you as a player?
I think he would say playmaker, point guard, pass first, plays with pace, is aggressive. I think I possess like a similar level of versatility. I think I can do a lot of things on the court, but just in a different sense.
I like that. Walk us through this opportunity, and are you nervous, and what's your approach for you to show off your skills to the Warriors come this weekend?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm excited just to play. I don't really feel nervous or anything like that. You know, I'm going to have a really cool opportunity to do what I do, and you know, it's easy when it's like that, just to be yourself and play basketball. Everything will work out.
Taron Armstrong is joining us live here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests join us on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? So you joined the team last year on a two-way contract. You make your debut for the Santa Cruz Warriors in March. What was that moment like for you, understanding you're joining the Warriors and getting that kind of opportunity to come over and play for this franchise?
Yeah, it was cool. Obviously something that's been a long time in the making. Yeah. You know, I went undrafted and had to go back to Australia and continue to work, and always having the NBA as an end goal, but doing my best to stay present and be happy with where I'm at and things like that. But yeah, it was a great moment for me, my family, and all the people that have sort of poured into me over the years. I think it was a great realization for a lot of people, and it means a lot to, as I said, a lot of people, not just myself.
Oh, I love that. When you talk about the Warrior system, how do you feel like your skill set fits with that?
Perfect. It's a lot of read and react. They like guys that can pass, dribble, and shoot, and I can do a bit of everything. So, you know, also relying on high IQ basketball and, you know, feeling it in the moment. You sort of got to be able to make those reads and react when necessary. So I think I fit perfectly in that.
We're talking to Taron Armstrong here on 95.7 The Game. He's going to be competing this summer for the Warriors in Summer League, beginning this weekend with the Cal Classic. You know, one characteristic you did leave out, though, was humble, because we just got a note. You scored 28 points against Tui when the last time you guys played.
He was hot.
Maybe.
Look at him.
Okay, so we know you got that ability. You know, I feel like now having the opportunity to come stateside, like, what have you been working on this summer to prepare for this weekend and yeah, the beginning of Summer League?
It's been a big weight room focus. Spent a lot of time in there, put on a good amount of size, bit of weight, and then obviously just on court, trying to refine a few things, keep continually working on my three ball and getting that off quick and staying aggressive with it. So those are two things that I've been working on, and I feel like I made really good strides.
What do you think the biggest adjustment from the Australian League to the NBA will be?
I think definitely just like the size and length. Like, it's difficult to describe, but obviously the court is bigger, but there's also reads that you can make in Australia that you can't quite make, especially as a passer in this league. Guys can just close the space down so quickly, and wingspans are insane. Mm. So you got to really, you know, put the ball like precisely and get it through gaps, and you can't be, you know, lackadaisical with the ball. You got to be really sharp with it, and that's something I definitely noticed.
Taron Armstrong with us live here from Chase Center. So you played college at Cal Baptist, and then instead of getting into the portal, that's when you decided to kickstart your professional career. What, take us through that decision of, you know, foregoing your last year in college, playing very well in the WAC, and then going back to start in Australia. What was that decision like?
Yeah, so I mean, I went into the portal and sort of just had a clean slate of evaluating all my options. You know, I had some good schools to choose from and things like that, but ultimately, you know, one of the knocks on me that I had was I didn't play against the best competition, you know, in the WAC. So for me, I kind of just thought, right, I'm just going to go chase the best competition possible, and I thought that was the NBL, and I had a really good opportunity. An opportunity that was rare that my head coach Adam Ford at the time presented to me, and something that was just, you know, it was too good to pass up for the stage and the success that league had already had in previous years. So, you know, I thought that was the best decision, and I'm definitely glad I made it.
Let me ask you this. When you lay down the night where you mentioned you didn't get drafted, were you upset, and how much of a chip has that put on your shoulder to where, you know what, you guys got it wrong, I ain't with nowhere, I'm back, and it starts this weekend?
Yeah, obviously a lot, naturally, but I think for me it highlighted some other things. It highlighted how important my family is to me. You know, at that time I thought, you know, sort of my dreams were over, and you know, it was really nice to know that my family still loved me no matter what kind of thing. So it was just me and my dad out in Riverside, you know, and he was great. And once I knew I wasn't getting picked up, wasn't getting a two-way, any of that, we sort of just decided to go home and get ready for the season and go again. So I think that was the biggest thing. I just realized, you know, how many people in my life are, you know, with me and love me no matter what, regardless of my success. And that was a really good realization for me.
That's incredible.
No doubt, man.
Taron Armstrong joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So you got a little bit of time last year with Santa Cruz. A lot of people are familiar with his father, but Nicholas Kerr, your head coach, is now joining the big staff this year. What was it like playing for him in Santa Cruz? And what kind of coach is he?
Yeah, he's really, really smart, really sharp. Gives the players a lot of power. You know, allows you to, gives you a framework and allows you to make the reads and the decisions out of that. You know, coaches is hard, but also gives us the freedom. He has a really good balance of that, and it was really fun to play for him.
Right on.
How's your comfort level bringing the rock up? How are you, you know, in the handle department?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. So.
Look at him. And he had the smile, the Top Gun Maverick smile, Evan. I love it.
Well, all right, this is something I've always been curious about. Like, with the confidence in your handle, when you see a guy pick you up 90 feet, like, is that bothersome at all? I mean, does that really do much to you as someone who has to initiate the offense?
I mean, it depends. Sometimes it's like it's almost like an egotistical thing. Like, are you going to pick me up full court? Okay, I'm going to take you off the bounce and just go full court. But I think as I've grown in my maturity as a player, if you want to do that, I'll just get screens in the backcourt and I'll get the ball to where I want it to go and we'll run the offense as B, and you can just waste juice picking up full court. It's all good.
So it really just doesn't do much.
No, we're good.
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait to see you ball. We'll be in the house. Now, you talked about the Warrior system, and we all know it's read and react. But is there a part of you that's going to enhance or highlight your game as opposed to some scenarios or teams where it's just running up and down?
Definitely. I think the game is so more multi-dimensional than just, you know, ISO basketball and, you know, pick and roll. There's a lot that goes into it, and, you know, that's definitely my game. I've grown up playing a sense of unselfish basketball and pass first, and I think this system just makes things like cutting and extra passes and like stampede dribbles, all that stuff, like just highlighted. So yeah, I'm excited.
Well, we're excited to see you this weekend.
Can't wait.
And look, we really appreciate taking some time out. I know you got a lot going on today, but thank you for hopping on. Best of luck this weekend.
I appreciate it.
And the rest of the way.
I'm rooting for me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Joining us here live on 95.7 The Game at Chase Center. And, oh, no.
Yeah, I did happen.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Yeah. That one
James saw it in the Boston. I went out to reach and give him a shake. He already shook my hand. I did it again, and he didn't see. And Evan, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, I don't know how to transition out of that one. I'm not going to lie to you.
You saw it.
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
That one, we might have to hold that against him next time we see him. He's got to get some
dap. Might have been my fault. I was going in for seconds, man. He already gave me the handshake. Dude, come on.
Yeah, the boss is going to find a replay for us.
Evan, I thought I needed tissue.
Dude,
he said my family still loved me after not getting drafted. That just hit me, man. Like, if that ain't putting it all in perspective, I'm rooting for this guy.
Well, I think it's also, you know, indicative of how much confidence he had in himself to, like, I can't imagine what it's like when someone tells you, hey, it's not that you're not good enough. You don't play against good enough competition. Like, your numbers are not hollow, but they're not worth enough for us to use a
and
draft pick.
You can't control it.
No, you can't. That's why he went to Australia. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. Like, the WAC is, you know, not a bad conference, but certainly not one of the power fives or power fours now. And he had an opportunity to kind of kickstart his professional career, took it. And like he said, it's taken him a long time to get here. And he's obviously still got a lot of work to do. But it makes me, like, those are the kinds of stories that make me want to root for guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I wasn't expecting that answer. And it got me. And, you know, always we have fun with this. I have body envy every time we come out here on everybody. Anybody comes here and sits down with us. But he talked about adding weight. No, he looked good. I could tell he'd been hitting iron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He also, you know,
confidence.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just asking about, hey, what happens when a guy picks you up 90 feet? He's like, I don't care. I don't care.
I got that from him. Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, so obviously he's going to be along with Alex Tui and Will Richard. You can see them all this weekend at the California Classic presented by CarMax. Tickets available for Saturday and Sunday at Chase Center. Make sure to snag your California Classic ticket bundle. Two lower-level seats, two hot dogs, two drinks, $40 a pop. Offer good through July 1st. Coming up very soon, by the way. Wait, so you're going to be in the house this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm there, and I'm excited. And, man, Evan, I'm rooting for everybody in a Warrior uniform. But, I mean, when you hear stories like that and just the two young men that we talked to before, Will and Alex, man, I just can't wait. And I hope he gets picked up, man. How about that? I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be on probably a two-way contract heading into the season. But I also wonder, too, with, look, they picked up the team options for Quentin Post and Guy Santos. They didn't pick up the option for Pat Spencer. So, and I don't know, they might be able to bring him back. I'm not sure, but if he's not here, and I know it's like, why are you talking about Pat Spencer?
No.
Because the Warriors need a third guard.
No doubt, and I thought you helped me out, Evan. I don't know if that is not feasible in regard to Pat Spencer, but again, I want to just share with you guys, I was lightweight shocked because you talked about it, that third guard. I thought he handled that well. So, you know, things change fast, quick, and in a hurry. But that is a position of need, and maybe one of these two guys, three guys that we spoke to can do that. Now, you mentioned Will was more of a 3-and-D guy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Obviously, all these guys have handles to some extent, but Armstrong is probably of the three more of a true.
He said it. He goes, I got that.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about me bringing up the rock. No, and especially with some of the guys going off the board as we get set for free agency again here live at Chase Center, 3 o'clock unrestricted free agency. The negotiating period opens, but basically everything's going to be out in the open. And I believe too, Carter and Cam in the back. If we have that Sham Charania clip, just kind of previewing what we're about to witness, and hopefully what the Warriors can be a part of. Here's Sham's earlier today on ESPN.
There were a lot of deals yesterday popping off, Pat, and we're not even going yet.
Yeah,
up to something season.
Yeah, there was a lot of player options.
Like 5 hours away, baby.
I mean, this is yesterday. I just saw massive numbers with players decided to, yeah, I guess I'll take 45 million.
Yeah.
Player decided to, yeah, that sounds good, to 32 million a year. There was a bunch of those yesterday that were kind of popping off. Sunday, that was where the LeBron James opt-in and then the conversation around that really all began. And then free agency tonight, we should expect a lot more, is what you're saying, it sounds like.
There's going to be some big deals tonight, Pat. There's going to be some big deals tonight, Pat.
That was good. That was, You're eager for this
big,
evening.
Big ones?
Yeah, how big are we talking about? You talking most craziest big?
Yeah.
You know?
Better be.
No, not yet.
Evan, what does that mean? Shout out Tom Hanks, a great movie, Big. But LeBron James is big. Giannis is big. What does that mean, big?
Well, I'm trying to think of guys that are extension eligible, but also the free agents that are moving around. Like he's right, we've already seen some. Like James Harden
quietly
opted out, but then got 2 for $81.5 from the Clippers. I think earlier today it leaked out someone like Nicholas Batum is re-signing with LA. D'Angelo Russell is going to Dallas or is expected to. They're using their mid-level on him on a 2 for $12 deal. Miles Turner to me is the one that is probably the biggest center. Biggest need for the Warriors, and he's expected to re-sign with Indiana, so that could be a big deal. But you know, looking around the rest of the league, like we've already seen Jabari Smith get 5 for $122 from the Houston Rockets. That also, I think, is important in regards to the Kuminga conversation, because Jabari Smith is, you know, what, same age. He's someone that is in, obviously, a different locale, but we saw this year, didn't get a ton of burn in the playoffs, is going to have to take a step forward now on a team that's looking to compete. And whether he's a starter or he came off the bench like he did in the playoffs, he's now making $24.5 million thereabouts per year. That, to me, seems like the ceiling for JK.
Okay.
You know, if I was going to say, look at this contract, here's your market, to me, that is basically the highest that I would imagine anybody goes, whether it's another team. Brooklyn's the only team that can offer him more than 20 per year, and the Warriors, like 5 for $122. That to me, that is the absolute max that he can command right now.
Okay, and I'm with you, Evan, and I got to say this. I just feel like there's so many extenuating circumstances regarding this whole Kuminga enigma, and I just wish we were in year one or year two, and he had those four games in the playoffs against Minnesota. And if you're pro Kuminga, you know what you saw against a pretty good defense with Minnesota, what he did in the playoffs. And then if you're not, you're going to say, well, they didn't win any of those games. The Rat on the Table, brought to you by ATCO Pest Control, Evan, is if you were able to secure Kuminga and bring him back at 25, is Kerr fine? Is somebody going to go in and put down a piece of paper, Joe Lacob, and demand Coach Kerr and say, do this differently? So I'm asking you to tell Dub Nation, just share with us, Evan, your thoughts as quick as you can. Take your time. We're not up against it.
We're here till 2.
Okay, you bring him back, which I want, because I don't think you can get something as young and Thundercat-ish like Kuminga. Why would it look different on the court? What would have to happen? I feel like what would have to happen are things that Kuminga doesn't control.
But that's kind of the issue. You know, while you were out and having a great time with your family in Texas, you know, he spoke to Anthony Slater of The Athletic and said, the role's the issue. And you're right. He can't control that. He's not going to usurp Jimmy Butler. He's not going to usurp Draymond Green between now and next season.
But can I be a part of it?
But it sounds like he wants the whole pie. And look, to me, that is available to him in a couple of years after the Warriors are done competing. But the issue is that if you are really all in on number five, and earlier, it's not that that's not the goal. It's just, to me, you have to be realistic about where you stand in the NBA. And the Warriors are one of the teams. Not one of the top four teams going into next season, in my opinion. So if JK can help fetch you someone that gets you closer to that, that's absolutely an avenue you have to go down, or at least explore. And that's why I think when Shams is saying there's going to be some big deals tonight, hopefully that should sort of clear the landscape or clarify the landscape for what the Warriors' options actually are in regards to using JK, whether it's now or potentially at the deadline next season, to go get somebody that can help get him closer to number five.
So I want to first give thanks to Abundant Life, because I lost a lot of weight with them, and so did Dan Dibley.
I see it.
30 pounds. But you're the fit one of this show. And the reason I bring that three-letter word up is, when it's all said and done and Kuminga is no longer a Warrior, if that happens, it ended up all being about fit, right? He didn't fit.
I give you three.
And I don't put that all at his doorstep. It's frustrating as a fan to see what he did in the playoffs on that stage when it was all said and done, Evan. And he's to blame, too, but they couldn't make him fit.
Or he wasn't able to fit. You know, I think it's, and that's to me why it's like, you know, you're in a relationship and neither side appears to be super happy with the other. And it kind of feels like it's coming to a close.
Wow.
But you have to figure out the lease. You got to determine who's going to take care of the dog. Like, you got all these different, details. I can't just take the couch outside and I'll go find somewhere else to live. Like, the issue is that there isn't another place right now outside of Brooklyn that can offer Kuminga apparently, reportedly, what he wants, which is an opportunity to shine as the focal point of a team and to make a lot of money.
And wow, man.
It feels like the money might be there in Golden State for him, but the role this upcoming season that he wants now is not available to him.
Yeah, and I've had conversations with bosses throughout my lifetime, Evan. Obviously, I'm not a pro athlete, but they say, you know what, Daryl, it's not your time now, but maybe in a year or two. And that kind of gets you to that plateau of knowing, okay, it's out in the open, my time is on its way, it's down the road, so yeah. I'm going to be the best soldier I can until that time is upon us. But I don't want to be dramatic. Is there any scenario that you think Jonathan Kuminga's camp just feels like there's too many bad memories or maybe bad blood that he hadn't got that opportunity? Because as a Warrior, diehard Warrior fan, I feel like he has. But you go back to that piece. It was a great piece by our guy Slater while I was out. And, Evan, it almost sounded like Kuminga omitted some opportunities that I feel like he's had. One where he got hurt and missed 31 games. But
yeah.
Do you feel like there's just too much water under the bridge to where he might want to go somewhere else? And maybe it doesn't have to be top dollar. Just a fresh start.
I think he does want top dollar. And again, top dollar, I think, is what Jabari Smith got. Like, Jabari Smith is a good young player.
He's a baller, man.
You know, he obviously hasn't realized his potential yet, but he can shoot. He's big. He's
athletic.
Should
have been on the floor more and against the Warriors, if you ask me. I'll just leave that there.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had some highs and lows. Yeah. I think it was in game three when the Warriors won, you know, without Jimmy Butler. He had a couple of tough moments down the stretch, but that's what's going to happen to a young guy. But he's good. But the point is, he got 5 years at about 25 a pop. That feels to me like that's the highest that a team could go with JK, because while he's been allowed to do more, Jabari Smith has proven a little bit to me,
man,
at an earlier stage in his career. Like he can
shoot with the best of them.
Kuminga can score. There's no doubt
about
that. But
he can't shoot like Jabari. You know what I mean?
Jabari Smith fits with the Rockets more than Kuminga fits with the Warriors. Or at least that's the way that it's looked to me.
I'm with you.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. But when you hear Shams Charania say there's going to be some big deals tonight, are you thinking about Golden State? Are you thinking about the rest of the league? We've already, to his credit, we've seen a ton of stuff go down already. Shams was the one, Windhorse was the one saying a lot's going to go down around the draft. This is going to be the biggest summer in NBA history. That remains to be seen, but we've already seen Bane get dealt. KD's a Houston Rocket. On draft night, there was a lot of trades going down around that. A couple smart, a couple a little head-scratching. We got rumors leaking out about different players potentially available to the Golden State Warriors when everything begins at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard. How you feeling, Dub Nation? When you hear big deal, what does that mean to you? 888-957-9570 is the number. We're live here at Chase Center. Big thanks to Tarrant Armstrong, who just joined us earlier in the segment. Will Richard, Alex Tui. You can check out all those interviews live on the Odyssey app. And a reminder, that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Again, Evan Infersteiny, Gil will be back after this. All sponsored by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water.
Talk to me, Evan.
I got to give a shout out to Tarrant Armstrong, and from what it sounds like, Raymond Ritter as well. So when we had Armstrong on last segment, there was and it's on social media, you can go check it out on our Twitter page. Gave Tarrant a handshake on the way out, you know, great interview, thank you for your time, and he left you hanging.
Yeah, he did.
You reached the hand out and he turned his back on you.
And what hurt was he brought up his family and draft night when he didn't get drafted, Evan, and I'm coming back from the motherland, you know, with my family, and it hit me.
Yeah.
So I wanted that. I needed that. Like, we bonded, and then he missed it. But we fixed it.
Yeah,
been rectified.
But during the break, he walks back in, unprompted, by the way, during the break, and immediately comes and daps you up. And I think the boss got a video of it.
Doubt.
So he said something popped up on his Twitter.
I have to share something with you. When we're out here and we meet these athletes, I make sure that never happens. So before they even get the mic, my paw's out there so we can get it out the way. But after that story, I went in for seconds. I wanted the second handshake. So that's on me.
Yes.
But he came back and gave it to me.
Speaking of seconds, James Kincaid just showed up with lot of food for the next break. So, look, they're taking care of us here. Obviously, we're getting set for the California Classic, which is this weekend. Tickets are available for the 5th and the 6th of July at Chase Center. Great way to spend the holiday weekend here watching some great hoops, not just the Warriors, but also, of course, the Heat. I believe San Antonio is going to be here, and the Lakers as well. So looking forward to all those games. But right before the break, ask the question, like, what does big mean,
man,
as we prepare for free agency? When I say goo, it's going to be a big free agency. What does that mean to you?
I think of LeBron James and whatever was going on with him and Mr. Paul saying, you know, hey, I'm watching what you're doing, boss, and if I don't like it, I'm out of here. So when I hear the great Sham say big, I think of while I was out, the president of basketball ops, I believe, for the Nuggets misspoke. I believe he misspoke and talked about
Jokic and possibly trying
to avoid trading Jokic. So I'm thinking, and the boss smirked at this name. I said, Bam. In Miami, if somehow he were to get traded, like if he were a Warrior, that to me is big. Bam, I say that constitutes big to you?
I think so, but I'm almost feeling like bigger than Bam. Not that Bam isn't a star. Not that he's not a really good player, and obviously he was on the Olympic team that won gold last summer. But when I think big, I do think of Giannis. Like that's the first name that
I give you guys. That I go towards. Yeah.
I mean, LeBron to me is up there as well. I thought it was interesting that he opted in instead of doing his typical opt out, sign a 1+1, and then just roll it over to the next year. But when I hear big, I'm actually not thinking about the free agents like. Chris Paul reportedly wants to move back to L.A. and be closer to home. That's not big enough to me. Looking down the list, you know, like even a Jabari Smith who got a lot of money, Naz Reid got a lot of money. Julius Randle's reportedly going to be signing 3 for $100. That's a lot of cash.
Right, right.
When I hear big, I think star power. And Durant's already on the move. It might even be bigger than him. What I am waiting for, maybe not at 3 o'clock, but at some point during this negotiating window, I am waiting for the report that Giannis Antetokounmpo has requested a trade. That's what it feels like, something along that size, that magnitude is coming down.
And I want you to be right. That's a great thought, Evan. I want you to be right, and I want the Warriors and Joe Lacob and Mike D to be able to, if that shot is fired tonight, that he wants to be out of Milwaukee, they will do everything under the sun to try to make Giannis a Golden State Warrior. And when you talk about being greedy, which we're about to be after mm-hmm. James Kincaid just came in here and hooked us up, you talk about having a guy after Steph and then having a guy with Steph. I mean, Evan, you talk about just dotting your I's and crossing your T's. That would be the basketball version of perfection in regard to the baton being passed from Steph to Giannis. But in between, you get the both. Oh, my goodness. So now you got me excited thinking, you know, and the boss had a good, don't tell him, oh, he's here. He had a good point saying Shams must be in the, he knows something to go out and say that something big is on the horizon, you know, at just hours away.
Well, whenever there is a big piece of news, I mean, he's the guy who breaks it. So I have to imagine he's sitting on some stuff. And the question is when he's allowed to release it. I think 3 p.m. is the time. And it's just, like, what is he sitting on right now? What is Sham Sharania of ESPN sitting on that would make him say that it's going to be big? So at the beginning of the whole of all this summer, like he said, it's going to be one of the biggest off seasons in the history of basketball, or the biggest one. I was like, all right, come on, like, you know, seriously, come on.
Ask me what I'm thinking.
What do you think?
That Ja Morant could get traded tonight.
That would be big. That would be big.
With everything going on in and off the streets in Memphis.
Would Jaren Jackson Jr. be big?
He qualifies. I'd put check. And imagine if he had a Warrior jersey. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, if you could transform Draymond Green into Jaren Jackson Jr., I would do that.
Michigan State.
Well, this is from earlier today. This is from Brian Windhorst. He said, Warriors would sacrifice depth for star-studded 3, Curry, Giannis, and Butler. Now, number one, yes. But number two, what is the depth? Like, I actually think that, you know, some of the guys we're talking to today, and we're also going to catch up with their summer league head coach, Lane Wilson, in a little bit here. But to me, like, those guys are here because they're supposed to be depth. Maybe not ready to, like, step on the court game one, but by the end of this season, again, I think we're going to see Will Richard. I think we're going to see Alex Toomey.
I'm with you.
We might see Taron Armstrong. That's kind of the depth that I feel like they're trying to find. But, you know, I actually think that one of the reasons they ended up running into a wall. Yes, Curry got hurt, but they're not a very deep team to me compared to some of the other big boys in the West.
And I think it's time, and Evan, we've kind of talked about it, but it's time that the Warriors have some body punches to their portfolio. When I talk about that, not, and I love Quentin Post and I love the stretch five, but the bottom line is points in the paint still matter. And the Warriors have just, it's incredible how successful they've been without that component. So I'm hoping we could get something or one somebody or somebodies that could just add that to our repertoire of scoring and get a big boy down there. Not Shaq, because Shaq don't exist. And I'm thinking about Joel Embiid. Would you even want Embiid? We don't even know if he. So no. That's not him getting moved. But at some point, we got to be able to rely on something down low. And it just bothers me that we don't have it. Now I feel like it's a necessity, especially Evan. Whoever would have thought that, you know, the home of the Splash Brothers, the right on the table brought to you by Echo Pest Control is we still need shooting. We got the chef, but we still need some other guys in the kitchen.
Well, it's funny because this player we actually talked about with Will Richard earlier, and I want to run this by it. Now, he's old, but he's a champion.
I'm not Steiny. I don't birth certificate Shay.
Well, he's older than anybody on the team.
Oh, boy.
This is from Anthony Slater just moments ago. One of the players that is a preferred target for the Warriors is Al Horford. Now, see, now you don't want them.
No, I'm not. It's,
now, when I said old, I meant old.
If the dust settles and that's what we have.
He's 39 years old.
Yeah, would I be excited? But that's not the young Thundercat I was talking about, you know? And I love Tito, but.
Well, they're trying to trade the young Thundercat. Or, well, you got to figure out what you're going to do with JK first.
But. And people make fun of me, and you go, oh, Guru, you would make a GM. But if you're telling me you would prefer Horford. And then scoff at Ayton and his age and what he can do and get you what I'm trying to describe more so around the bucket, his size. My gosh, Evan, I would take Ayton over Horford. Just with when you go to the tail of the tape with everything, I'm not down on Ayton like a lot of people are. He's not a joke to me. And if you were to get him in this system with Draymond in his ear and him knowing this culture means you got to be the best version of yourself. Oh, man. And then you got you had Booker and Chris Paul in Phoenix to kind of make Ayton's job easier. But they're not playing through Ayton. He would just be a piece, and it would be easier basketball. I know you guys teased me on that. This would be the easiest basketball he ever had to play, but I would go there before Horford. That's just me. I watch DeAndre even on bet. You know, he ain't playing for nothing. I'm like, man, he's got some gifts.
No, I wouldn't call him a joke. Okay. Like the Giants with runners in scoring position is a joke. That's what it is. But Horford to me is actually kind of a perfect piece because he fits the timeline. Like when I hear big, I don't hear Warriors outside of maybe the outside moonshot three for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Would Horford be big to you?
No, he wouldn't be. But I also don't think they're in a position to really go out and get a big name. Like the boss likes Naz Reid.
Yeah.
They couldn't acquire. He's a $25 million player. He wouldn't be available to them in free agency because they don't have the space. So it's got to be guys around the margins. I actually think that of Horford, Ayton, Lopez, and Capella, I think those are the four centers. Ayton joined the mix today. But before today, it was Lopez, Capella, and Horford. Of those three, I do think that Al Horford would help the Warriors the most. And I know he's 39 years old. He's played at least 60 games each the last four seasons. He's at least in Boston, he's been a 39% three-point shooter for the last five seasons. And he's a pro. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and play 40 minutes in a playoff game. And I realize that it's crazy to think about bringing another older player in here. But to me, with what the Warriors are trying to do, which is, again, thread this needle of maybe now, maybe later, but mostly now, I actually think Al Horford is a good fit.
Yeah, and, you know, you didn't ask me that. So, like I said, I wouldn't, especially now, Evan, because you just talked about it. That move would align with what's going on, the immediate, right, the impact. He is a pro, so I wouldn't be mad at it. But if it were up to me and you told me I could get Capella before Horford, I would get Capella. That's just me, a guy that I think could protect the paint, rebound, block shots, and you wouldn't be so dependent on him. You know, he wouldn't, and Horford's going to come in here and shoot threes, you know, and I'm not mad at him. He can hit them. But, man, when you talk about the to-do list, you know, if it were up to me, I would take Capella over Horford.
That's fair. I mean, I would lean Horford. I wonder what the people feel about it. At 888-957-9570, you know, if we're talking about Al Horford, Brooke Lopez, Clint Capella, you could even throw Ayton in there if you want.
Okay.
I think he's pricier than those three guys just because of their age and the stages of their career.
I got a name for you, too, when you're done.
Okay, well, let me just get to the legal real fast. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.